Well,
you all right?
Yeah, I'm not so bad. You know, I looked at this game, and I guess I'm more disappointed than anything else, but I'm not devastated like I've been in the past, because I think this is pretty much as far as they could have gone with the talent that they had left on the field.
I think most people think they overachieved. I had questions about the team before all the injuries to start the year, how good they could be. So to go to an AFC title game, be a, you know, a bye team, and then I really think the biggest factor, you know, talent. Denver had the talent, but the weather, the fact that it was so nice for Manning out there to throw in and just pick you apart. I may have felt differently had the game been here at Gillette Stadium, but in those conditions, it was Manning's day.
Go ahead.
You needed some mistakes. I thought going in that Denver wouldn't play.
Snap 17 times.
I didn't think Denver would play a clean game, so you needed some help. And I think Andy's point about the weather, that was going to be a big part of I think, the help that you might have gotten. Maybe a ball or two gets away from Manning. Maybe someone puts a cold football on the ground. They didn't get anything close to that, and I think the weather was a big part of that. It held. I think Denver was comfortable from the start, and it showed.
Yeah, I you know, you never want to have weather as an excuse, no. Whether it's good or bad. I think I was though most disappointed at just the level of play that, you know, given the Patriots were outmanned in terms of talent, but I just didn't see the same team that I had seen going up. I just think the offense, in particular, laid an egg. You know, I'm not so worried about the defense. I knew Peyton Manning was going to get his yards, and the best offense in the league this year ever in the NFL was going to get its yards. But I was most disappointed with the offense.
Well, they never really got into the fight. You know, you wanted it to be a fight. You wanted it to be Manning and Brady. It just never happened. And Paul and I talked a lot about it earlier in the week. Is just, you know, you throw into Edelman, and then the next pass goes to Colley, and then the next one goes to Mulligan, and the next one goes to Slater, and you're thinking, really, this is what we have? And yes, this is what we have. And yet he's throwing to guys that have double-digit touchdowns and guys who are 1,000-yard receivers and improving themselves. And so it just never, they were so good. Even you force them to punt,
right?
It was a 7-and-out. It wasn't like a 3-and-out.
No, but that's okay.
And then
okay.
From there, it was an 8-play drive and then a 10-play drive and a 15-play
yeah,
drive.
Yeah, but even then, it was 13-3 at the half. And
could have been much worse.
I think if Brady hits Edelman, that's wide open down the field, that could easily have been 14-13, Patriots in the lead at the half.
Ifs. A lot
right.
of ifs.
But that's
they
what,
didn't need ifs on their
side. How is a touchdown going to give them 11 points?
No, but I'm saying that's what I wouldn't have been surprised going in if the Patriots had 14 points at the half, would you?
No. I mean, I think that
I was surprised they only had three.
Right. The part that you said about the offense laying an egg and the other side of the equation is the running game, you know, that they really relied on down the stretch. Well, what you saw was Denver was not Buffalo and it was not Indianapolis. You know, there's a lot of talk about how good is Denver's run defense. They're a top 10 run defense. But is that because the Broncos score so many points and they make you throw to catch up and they're playing from ahead? Well, we saw that, you know, it wasn't just because of that. Their average per carry was very good, also in the top 10 allowed, and they did that. You know, some people I thought felt the Patriots got away from the run too soon. I'm not one of those people.
I'm not either.
I thought they were, you know, San Diego, I thought for 3+ quarters ran into a brick wall the week before. And I don't think the Patriots were going to do that. I think they did the right move. I thought for the first 6 plays they came out, they spread it out. They tried to throw the ball a little bit. It didn't work. But I don't think they were going to win this game and stay competitive by slamming LeGarrette Blount and Stephen Ridley into that line.
Look, I think that this game, I thought before the game, this game was going to be won along the line of scrimmage. You know, the Patriots had to get pressure on Manning because they couldn't match up.
And the
Patriots had to protect Brady and control from the offensive side, and they lost both sides.
Yeah,
they lost that battle.
I agree.
If you're going to ask me what I was most disappointed in, I first of all, I think it's hard to point fingers. I think they lost as a team from start to finish, from coaching through special teams, everything all inclusive. But me, I thought that pass rush had a chance to change the game, to get after Manning, to get around him, and I thought that was the only way defensively you had a chance to match up, because I didn't think you could cover all those weapons,
right.
And I didn't even know you were going to lose Aqib Talib, just matching up. And they never got near him. They never hit him once. They never sacked him once. They were credited with one hurry on, you know, Chandler Jones got near him early in the game. Other than that, there was nothing. And to me, that's disappointing. They're not elite, Jones and Ninkovich, but 11.5 sacks, 8 sacks. You're healthy. I kind of count on you to make plays. For them to lay an egg was disappointing.
They didn't even have one of those throws where Manning looked like he was, you know, sometimes he gets jittery and the happy feet, and he just throws it real quick. He didn't even have one throw like that all day.
I'm not sure. The only time he was jittery was the snap, when he had the bad snap. That was the only time he looked uncomfortable at all.
And I can't recall a single play that a Patriots defensive player touched the ball.
Right.
You know, they didn't have a pass defense. They didn't have a, you know, a knockdown of the quarterback where the ball, you know, they didn't almost come up with a deflection off an intercept. Nothing. They had no pressure defensively put on Denver's offense. You knew that they were going to have to do it with the front four because you can't blitz him.
Yeah.
And Andy's right. You know, you didn't get a whole lot out of Ninkovich and Jones. They weren't alone, but those are two of your better players, your healthier players, and they really didn't come
up. It's true, but I was not surprised at all that Manning was going to be able to move. But when they got to the red zone, what were they, two touchdowns out of six trips in there?
Yep.
I'll take that. I'll go back to the offense and say that's where I'm most disappointed, that they didn't keep up.
You know, how could they?
We thought they could going in.
Well, the quarterback needed to step up and have a big game despite what he had to work with, and it didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
Tom Brady said all along that the margin for error is very thin this year. And when you miss Edelman in the beginning of the game,
huge.
That's it.
But
that's it.
My bigger point gets back to Paul's. They couldn't run the ball. And for a month now, they've been running the ball. That was the core of the offense. So if the other team takes away the run, or you can't run against a pretty good run defense, we shouldn't be surprised that the passing game couldn't hold up their end of the bargain. They haven't been able to hold up their end of the bargain for more than a month now. They were a complementary factor that was put in the spotlight in the biggest game of the year and showed they didn't have the guns. You know, our cover said outmanned.
Right.
They were outmanned.
Yeah,
that's all it was. Going to mix it up a little bit this week. No game to prepare for Paul Perillo, so From the Heart is out. And your little Perillo points thing you do, we didn't need that anyway. We're going to do Hearts points, and we're going to talk about the offseason. We're going to start with the coaching staff. Looks like Pepper Johnson not going to be back. He issued a statement about chasing his dreams and maybe going to a next step in his career. How big a hole does that leave on the defensive staff?
Well, first, it's From the Perillo, but that's beside the point. I do think it leaves a hole. And I think it's more of this sort of the rah-rah kind of guy, the fire that Pepper provides. You know, we talk a lot about the work that he does with the scout team, the Dirty Show team. And I think that's important preparation kind of stuff. He really gets those guys whooped up. You know, the practice squad players, I think the preparation with this team is a big part of their success. And I think he's a big part of that. And I also think the players like to have a former player that's been through the same kind of stuff. And you know, when you're hurting in the middle of the season and you're trying to fight through some aches and pains, to have a guy in the coaching staff who's been there, especially as a linebacker, a really fiery kind of guy, they'll miss that. I think they need to replace that element of what Pepper Johnson provides.
And there'll be some players out there we might not think of. Jim Schwartz is also a veteran coach. Who knows if Belichick brings back his longtime friend. The coordinators stay the same. That's the important thing. Now we'll look at a free agency, and I think that's going to be a major issue for this team. You don't have a lot of big money guys necessarily, but one in particular, Aqib Talib, could be one of the top cornerbacks on the market. You also have to think about Julian Edelman, a slot receiver coming off 100 catch season, and LeGarrette Blount be heading into free agency, sort of had those big games late in the year. Of the three, you got to think Talib is the most important.
I absolutely do. I think that he needs to come back. I think that you saw the defense with and without Talib even this season, Andy. So I think whether it be a franchise tag or, you know, some sort of a long-term deal. Now, look, I'm not willing to just fork over, say, $50 million for the guy. The injuries are a little bit of a concern. He had to leave both championship games the last 2 years, and he's missed some time with that hip problem. But I've seen enough without him. They need a shutdown corner, and Aqib Talib is that. I'm willing to buy. I'm all in on him.
And with the 29th pick of this year's NFL draft, on May 8th, by the way, moved it back a little, the Patriots select?
I have no idea, but I'm going to go with a tight end.
Ooh, tight end.
Tight end. I don't know which one.
We need some help for Gronk in the offense. I agree with you. I think tight end is something they could look at. I think a big play receiver. If you could get a guy with some size. Yeah. I know they dipped into that pool a couple times last year with Dobson and Boyce, and they obviously have Tompkins coming back. I'm not sold on any of those guys being a number one outside the numbers type receiver. If one of those guys is available, I also wouldn't be stunned at cornerback, at safety, two common draft picks of late, and guard. I know you don't like a guard in the first round, but Logan Mankins worked out all right. I wouldn't mind seeing another guard to put it right guard.
There are some holes to fill. You know, it's a team that got to the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row, but I think all the different positions you mentioned, Andy, are probably all relevant. You know, I think they need another playmaking receiver, whether it be a tight end or a wide receiver. I think they probably need some help on both lines, and I think they probably need another cornerback. And especially if Aqib Talib leaves, you really need a cornerback. So you're right. A lot of different holes to fill.
I'm right, and that's why they call it either From the Heart or Heart's Points. Something to do with the heart. We'll see you next year.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
How's your beard look?
Smooth?
Yes.
Three, two. Joining us now on Patriots Football. There.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week from a disappointing AFC Championship. One thing we did see is the emergence of Jamie Collins. We'll look forward to that next year. And here's one that I couldn't overlook. Tom Brady just going for it, 5 yards out and scoring the touchdown. Finally, here's another picture of Brady. And as we saw, the sun just wasn't shining on the Patriots on Sunday.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
My coworker, Andy Hart, everybody knows here, you know, little meathead, stocky guy, high school fullback. He really wanted to do this interview, but then he was worried about the restraining order that was going to have to be taken out against him.
I feel a little embarrassed. I've been covering you your whole career and didn't know your nickname was Meat. Where does that come from?
From the movie Bull Durham, the rookie pitcher they call Meat.
Can you ever go wrong with a burger?
Look at me. Do you think I ever go wrong?
Look at me. I can never go wrong with a burger.
Sweet potato, casserole, green bean trees. Homemade bread.
Green bean trees?
Yeah, it's like
fresh
cut green beans, and you wrap it in bacon and put Italian dressing on it and then put it in the oven and bake them. They're really good.
So you found a way to make green beans sound good.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but some have sort of compared you to Marshall Faulk in that your ability. All right, it was me. I made the comparison. But
how's beard look? Smooth?
Yes.
3, 2. Joining us now on Patriots football. There. What do you think about what the Red Sox are doing right now?
I like their look. I think they look pretty good. You know, they look a little bit more rugged, a little more, shall we say, manly.
Do you ever get tired of, you know, seeing the butt fumble return for a touchdown?
Yeah. Oh, are they still playing that? I thought that thing got the axe a little while ago.
Hockey always grows playoff beards.
Hockey,
so those are beards.
Those are true men because they're like covering scars and things like that.
Is that what yours is for, covering your scars?
No, I don't have too many of those. But
still a pretty boy under there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Take the microphone away from me. Knock the mic away. I'm holding it high and tight.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, return of Andre Carter. Andre, good to have you back. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Doing well.
You just look. Who writes this crap? What was that all about?
Shot at you guys. You know, no hard feelings there. You know, I just was flipping through, happened to see a couple of things that I didn't agree with. But you know, that's what happens in the media.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
The fact that it was Welker doing it, and Belichick knows what Welker's intentions probably are, probably factors into it a little bit.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
When Bill Belichick talks, people listen. Earlier in the season, he questioned whether or not the league should get rid of the extra point. I mean, out of 1,200 attempts this year, I think 5 were missed. So now the league is listening, and they're thinking about getting rid of it. They're going over different options. The best one I've heard goes like this. When you score a touchdown, you get 7 points automatically. Now, you can go for a 2-point conversion that if you miss it, you go back to 6 points. So, in other words, you get that extra point without even trying, but if you go for the 2-point and miss it, you go back to 6. I think that makes this the most sense because let's say that you just made touchdown 6 points without the extra point. Think of all the records that would have to be adjusted because, you know, right now all teams are automatically getting 7 points. If now Peyton Manning only gets 6 points for every touchdown, let's say, that really rewrites a lot of the record books. So I like that idea. I like the idea of getting rid of the extra point. It's a play that just takes up more time. It might quicken up the game. Let's see what the league does with it.
I got a chance to watch the end of the NFC Championship game, and like everybody else, I was amazed at Richard Sherman's reaction at the end of the game. But what I didn't think anybody talked about nearly enough was Colin Kaepernick's decision to throw the ball in his direction in the first place. Really, this is the best play you could come up with the championship on the line, the Super Bowl on the line. You're going to go one-on-one with Michael Crabtree against the defensive player of the year. I'm sorry, Colin, that was not your best matchup. I know a lot of apologists have made excuses for you and said, one-on-one, you have to give your guy a chance to make a play, but there had to be a better play to be made somewhere else. Stay away from Sherman, and then you don't have to deal with the mouth.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The aftermath of the AFC title game was all about Wes Welker and Aqib Talib. Was it a dirty play?
I know, Paul, normally here we fight it out, but the season's over. I don't have a lot of fight left in me. I've been beaten down, and I actually think we both agree on this topic. And I just don't see, you know, Bill Belichick made it out to sound like there was a hit that basically took place in the middle of the field. And I mean a hit in the mob sense, not just a hit that, you know, some contact. And I just don't see it. I see a play that I see all the time, and they collided, yes. And Wes Welker, in my opinion, actually tried to shy away from contact. And I just don't see, maybe a flag could have been thrown. But other than that, I don't really see what all the fuss is about. I don't see dirty in any aspect of the play.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, I'd like to sit here and have a great back and forth and finish off the season the way we started it, just yelling at each other.
You don't have any fight left either?
But I'm agreeing with you on this one. I think that it certainly was a borderline play in terms of football. It may have been pass interference. I think it was
timing.
I think it was bang bang. I think it was right as the ball was getting to Demaryius Thomas the hit occurred, and it may have been slightly early. And I know that some of the officiating experts say it wasn't a penalty. Some say it was, but if it's that close, it couldn't have been that dirty. And I think for Belichick to sort of insinuate that the league should be looking at this, and not for him to decide how much he should be fined, but a fine would be forthcoming, I think is a little bit. A little bit silly, quite honestly. I don't think there was anything dirty about the play. I don't think there was anything malicious about the play. Was it intentional? Yes. He was trying to set a pick and certainly trying to get it in the way. These are two teams that do this as well as anybody in football. And, oh, by the way, Wes Welker did this very well for the Patriots as well in the past. So
I guess he honed the skill with the Patriots under Bill Belichick's direction.
Would you say that, you know, the fact that it was Welker doing it, and Belichick knows what Welker's intentions probably are, probably factors into it a little bit.
So if this is a topic that can get us to agree, and we never agree.
Never happens.
My question then becomes, what was Bill Belichick's intention at the podium? What does he feel like he's gaining in the middle of the open to his postseason press conference? He brings this up, that he was asked about the Welker Tlaib hit, that he finally had time to go back and look at it, and then he basically said it's one of the dirtiest plays he's seen, you know, the worst plays he's seen in 39 years of football. What's the angle? I don't really understand. As a guy who tells his players to zip it in the media, what's his angle?
Well, there's a couple of things. First, it's at the end of the year, so there's no distraction possibility. There's no fear of anything lingering, you know, that's going to cause them to lose focus moving ahead. But unfortunately, Bill said he would not talk about that topic anymore. And
right.
He didn't for the rest of the press conference. But I'm going to offer one possibility. And I'm wondering if maybe he's looking at this as an opportunity to really put his support behind Aqib Talib. You know, he's a free agent. They probably want him back.
Yep.
I think it makes a lot of sense to have him back. And you're telling Aqib Talib, look, you got hurt here. I didn't think it was right. I thought you took a hit that you didn't need to take. And I'm going to really back you up. I'm going to show you that you have our support. I'm going to support my players
no matter
what.
So you put your credibility on the line? Because that's what you're doing.
I mean,
you're essentially saying you've watched 39 years of football and this play stood out to you.
Yeah, we could have a whole trash talk on whether or not Aqib Talib needed to have someone stick up for him.
Right.
Aqib Talib did nothing wrong. Aqib Talib didn't have anything done wrong to him. You wonder if maybe it's a personal thing with Bill and Wes Welker. I don't think it ended on great terms between those two parts. I think we all thought that Wes Welker wanted to be back and that the Patriots wanted him back. Well, maybe the Patriots did want him back, but Bill Belichick wasn't necessarily one of them. Again, he didn't answer any more questions on that, so that's all speculation. But I think you and I both agree, not a dirty play, possibly a penalty. Not really sure what the motivation was.
I don't know if it was personal before this, but I think it's personal now.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, we've come to that part of the show in our final time when we get to answer your questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. So let's get right into it. This first one comes from Wano Yi, and he wants to know, Bill Belichick has done a great job putting things together and, you know, making the Patriots competitive every year, but with Brady getting on in years, he's going to be 40 in 4 years. Do you think that the Patriots just go for it next year and free agency and so on?
Go for what? Like to make it to an AFC title game and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl? No, I don't. I mean, I think they do things pretty intelligently. They go about it to stay competitive. They go about it to have some flexibility. And I don't think there is a need to just go all in. You know, I think they're close right now. Do they need to make a few changes? Sure. Upgrade here, move there. But it's not about, okay, we're going to go blow $100 million and then we're going to be in cap hell for the next 5 years.
But what if all in just means focusing on the offense?
I think all in means focusing on being a better football team, and I think Bill Belichick focuses on that every offseason.
Okay. All right. Well, Wano, there's your answer. Sean writes in, how much does Sunday's result lower LeGarrette Blount's value?
I don't think a tremendous amount. I think that he's a complimentary back. I think the way the Patriots like to do it in the backfield is by committee, and I think he's a big part of that committee, and I think he showed his value late in the season, I think, especially when the weather here in New England, as you know, we can see behind us, these are the kinds of days that you play in December and in January. He can be productive in that. But he's not a guy, like Andy says, you don't want to break the bank. You don't have to spend $100 million for LeGarrette Blount, but I don't think that necessarily that he didn't have a good game against Denver, so that means he lowers his value. He is what he is. He's a complimentary back. I think he's valuable. I think at the right price, he comes back. But whether he rushed for another 100 yards or not against the Broncos, to me, doesn't really change the price tag.
Okay. Well, that's it this season for PFW. I want to thank everyone for watching us all season, for getting those ratings up like you did. So for Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, I'm Fred Kirsch. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next season.